Hello, it is me, Christy Matthews. Thank you so much for listening today. Today's episode is an interview that I did with a makeup artist here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area named Becca Ashman. I recorded this interview a couple weeks ago here without Michelle, and Michelle has been in the Bay Area and now in Mexico, and she's doing interviews herself. So the upcoming episodes will be interviews that we do with wedding vendors or brides and grooms. And also then, of course, we'll have podcasts with us together as well. But for today, I am without Michelle, and I'm here to apologize in advance that this episode will not have all the technical bells and whistles as all of our other episodes do, as we are experiencing some technical difficulties with Michelle's computer. And since she does all of the GarageBand stuff for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, this episode will not have our intro music, and it might not sound as good as our other episodes, but we hope that by next week we are back on track and we have all learned a valuable lesson about not using our computers by pools when kids are playing in pools. So listen, learn, plan that wedding, and enjoy this interview with Becca Ashman. Hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews. I am recording today without Michelle Martinez, who usually does this introduction, because I am doing an interview here in my closet in Fort Worth. I always say Dallas, but it's definitely more Fort Worth, with the esteemed makeup artist here. Her name is Becca Ashman, and her company is BA Beauty, and we'll go into all your Twitter and Instagram stuff, but please say hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. You called me esteemed. My mother will be so proud.
Thank you for driving all this way. Becca and I actually live fairly close together, but we're on like the opposite ends of the towns that border each other.
Yes.
So it's a little bit of a hike to get out here, and I can already feel my closet getting a little bit warm, so I apologize, and thanks for coming out.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So I was telling my in-laws, who are all here visiting, that you're a makeup artist, and that I didn't know that much about how you got started, except that you were in a sorority doing makeup all the time in a sorority, and then it became like its own beast, right?
So that was part of it, but before I got to being in a sorority, I am a very, I guess I was always a very theatrical kid, so I actually started in makeup with theater, and I started that in high school, and I was really good at it, but I don't think I thought much of it. I know my mom always thought something of it. She would always, like, look at my makeup, and she'd be like, how'd you do that? Do that for me. How'd you make that happen? And I didn't think anything of it, because I just was like, oh, I'm just good at this. But I remember my senior year of high school, I had, Facebook was newish. There were like, maybe it had been around for 2 years. I started a group on Facebook called Help Becca Get a Job at Mac, because you had to be 18 to work there. And I wasn't quite 18 yet, but I wanted desperately to work there, and I needed experience. And I
needed, at the mall.
Yes. At the mall. Like, it was like the dream job. It was all I wanted in life. And so I asked my friends, I'm like, hey, would you be willing to, like, let me practice, let me do some stuff? Because everything I had done to that point was theatrical makeup. Stage makeup is very heightened.
Like making a 16-year-old look like an old lady.
All of that fun stuff. So
I also was very theatrical.
So that was kind of how I started there, but I didn't really do anything with it. I went off to college.
You never got to Mac.
I didn't get to Mac. Well, I guess I ended up there at one point as a freelancer later, years later. But I ended up going to college. I was a musical theater major. I hated it really, really bad. But my last semester, I took stage makeup. And my teacher was new to Fort Worth and had just moved from Chicago because he was a lighting designer for the Oprah show.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And he was fantastic and just a great teacher. And I remember being in that class and thinking to myself, I really like this. This is really fun. And those first 2 years of college, I also was the girl who, I used to do people's makeup in my dorm room. So TCU has the Showgirls, which is their dance team, and they're kind of a big deal. So I used to do showgirl makeup on Saturdays before games, and I would go to girls' dorms and just do their makeup because people just knew that that was my thing and I was good at it.
So you got, like, a reputation.
As being, like, the makeup girl that, like, Becca's the girl you call, like, when it's formal, when it's whatever. So...
And you were doing it in the theater department also.
Yes. So it was... That was kind of how I learned, and I think theater is... a big part of why I'm good at what I do, because it taught me how to do everything.
Right.
I can do modern day makeup. I can do 1950s. I think the fact that I had to do so many time periods, and what was a big part of doing those was we had to actually, like, study them, like, go to the library, find the books.
Just like the costumer would, or the set designer.
And so actually they used to lump us in costuming and makeup. And so we used to have to do all the research. And I think that's part of what made me good. That and the fact that I am a woman of color and things are not quite made for me. The makeup industry is still doing a catch up, if you will. So I had to make things where there weren't things, and I had to figure out things where the options didn't exist.
Which is what everyone's doing on a theater
set. Yes, anyway. Exactly. Which is all that theater is. And I think that personal difficulty translated into me being better at doing other people. And people are like, how are you so good? I'm like, honestly, it just comes easy. And that's not to say that training is not important, because it so is. But that was how initially I kind of came to that. So I dropped out of school for a year. I said to my mom, I said, Mom, I want to be a makeup artist. And she said, okay. She's like, you get it. She's like, you get a year. And I was like, so I took my year.
This is so parallel to what would happen as an actress. Somebody being like, yes, training is important, but I'm also just inherently good. Talented and I want to follow this dream. And of course your parents are skeptical, like, ooh.
My mom was like, I actually remember the first time I had mentioned wanting to do makeup, and I was a freshman at TCU and it was spring break, and my mom said to me, I swear to God, if you had me spend all this money on TCU just to go to hair school, I'm going to be so upset. And I was like, oh God. I was like, okay, so I have to stay. I have to stay. Because I remember kind of starting to feel like, this is really fun. I really like this. Like, I'm really enjoying this. But
this college thing.
Like, I liked college, but then I wanted to do my own thing. So I kind of stuck it out. And I'm glad I stuck it out, because I never would have made it to that stage makeup class if I hadn't.
Right, because it was the last
time. I was like, that was my last class there. So that was what told me. I was like, no, this is what you need to do and you need to try. So I tried. And I said, I was like, Mom, I think I'm just going to try and make this a thing, and I'll have a day job. And I had a day job. And at night, I would try to hustle or get jobs or work for photographers. I offered to assist. I offered to pick something. I worked for free for 3 months for a photographer doing new model work. Mm-hmm. And then he finally started paying me. And then at one point he was like, he's like, half of the reason, he's like, I pay you for two reasons. He's like, one, you're great at what you do. He's like, the other reason is, he's like, I'm a male photographer. All these models are girls. He's like, they love you. He's like, they really like you being here, and you're fun, and you're a comfortable person to be around. He's like, so those two things combined make you a really valuable asset. He's like, because the talent's only half the
It seems battle. Like you're a hustler and you're willing to do jobs you had to do. Yeah.
You got to do some stuff. Nobody's going to hand you anything. And I think that's one thing that some people don't have in them, that willingness to work for free. Or they only see, I call it like the carrot. They only see the top of the carrot, and it's big and it's green and it's bright. And they're like, well, how do you have all of this? But they don't see all the orange of the carrot that's underground, which was all the stuff that you did for years and years and years that took you to get all the big leafy green on top. So I'm always a believer that you still should be willing to hustle. I still will assist people. If I get an opportunity to work for somebody who's good, or work for somebody who I think can teach me something, I will always do that. So I did that whole thing. I took my year off. I decided I was going to go back to college so my mom wouldn't have a heart attack. And I never really had a desire to join a sorority. I remember getting to school and somebody invited me to a Rush event, and I was like, maybe I'll just, like, meet people at the Rush event. Like, I didn't have any intentions of going through. And I remember getting to the sorority house, and one of the girls screamed from the top of the stairs, and she screamed my name. And I was like, oh God, who knows me? And I looked up, and it was a girlfriend of mine that I had gone to high school with, and she was all super cool because she was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader and that was a thing. And she was in that sorority. So that made the sorority really cool. But I remember, you know, everybody's coming around and talking to you and asking you about yourself. And people are like, so tell us about yourself. I'm like, well, I'm Becca. I'm a makeup artist. And they're like, you're a makeup artist?
Yeah, I think that would be like a hot commodity in a sorority house.
That was the
sure.
That was the hot commodity. That was what put me over. It's actually funny. So that I ended up joining that one sorority where the girl yelled. But I remember after the fact finding out that a sorority that had cut me, their president yelled at the chapter about she was like, who cut her? Who did it? Who did it? She was like very.
I live in regret forever.
Apparently, she was very. It has not affected my relationship with that sorority. I've had lots of lovely brides from there. But I ended up making this my career because in college I started doing makeup for formals. I was like, makeup, I'm good at this. I would make a sign up sheet and I would do makeup within my own chapter.
They pay you?
So that first year, I don't think so. I don't think I cared my first year. I still knew I needed to learn and I didn't feel like I was good enough to charge. I've always been really careful with the word professional.
Yeah.
And back then I wasn't.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't. I knew I had some stuff to learn. And to me, experience is worth money sometimes.
It was the experience and you were meeting friends and like
I made
these
friends.
Are your friends.
And I remember my very first formal. I spent so much time doing everybody else's makeup. I remember getting on the bus to go to Dallas and I was putting an eyelash on getting on the bus. So, I mean, I had some great times learning, but I remember thinking to myself, I should branch out and I should talk to the other sororities. So I did. And I was like, hi, I'm Becca. I'm in blah, blah, blah sorority. I'm a makeup artist. If you guys need assistance for a formal, let me know. And I would...
Because formals are on different nights? Is that kind
girl.
Of the deal? Okay,
yeah,
so everybody has one.
Everybody has one. Usually, everybody has one. At a small school, everybody.
In 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody kind of has one, and it's on a Friday or Saturday night, and you get all dressed up. And I mean, it's kind of... I mean, in your college years, unless you are somebody who ends up doing lots of charity events in your adulthood, there's not too many occasions to dress up like that. So it's kind of a fun thing. So I started doing that and I would book myself one girl every 30 minutes. And people are like, oh my God, that's so much. And I'm like, that's how I got fast. I forced myself.
Yeah.
Back then I knew
hardcore training for wedding makeup one day.
Back
sure.
then I knew I was slow and I knew that speed was something that I needed to add to my belt of tools. And so I was like, I'm just going to make myself be fast and say, you have no other option. And so I did. I remember my very first one, I did 14 girls in 7 hours. And I don't think I'd ever been more tired afterwards. I like just went home and was like, oh my God, I'm dead. I can't do this anymore.
Like a marathon.
It was a marathon, but it was so great. And what ended up happening is sorority girls grow up and sorority girls get married.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're so self-aware and talking to you, you're like an open book from the first time I met you. But were you aware at the time, like, oh, this is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Here we are in college.
Honest to God, yes.
And it's going to float right into marriage, which is going to float right into maternity shoots, which is going to float right into bridesmaids and friends. And I have this like built-in business.
I would be a really terrible liar if I said I didn't think of that when I joined. I would say my number one
reason. People join to network.
That was my number one reason for joining.
Yeah.
Actually, at the time I was a PR major when I went there, actually.
Changed from musical theater to
And I
PR.
Actually, that is what my degree ended up being in, which ended up helping later
both
in owning a business.
Both are very good. I think both are very apt for a makeup artist.
Yeah, so it ended up being useful. But I remember my first week in the sorority, I had on our letters and I had gone to get a taco. And this woman stops me and she's like, are you in the sorority? And I was like, yes. And she's like, what school do you go to? And she's like, I went to that school and I was in that sorority. I'm so-and-so. And I was like, you're so-and-so? So she's a local newscaster. And she was like, if you ever need an internship, call me. And that was when I was like, and we made the right choice because I knew that I was doing it for networking and connections. Now, what's funny is I didn't think I would get like all the friends and all of that, but I did. And what's great is that they've been such a wonderful network to begin to build a business. So my whole first year of business was literally the sorority next door to mine. Whole first year. Every single bride
recent
I had.
Graduates who
it was
got
one,
engaged in college and
it
boom.
It was all of them were those girls. And then that was that first fall, and then that spring was all of those girls' referrals.
Yeah.
And then it kept going, and then it was their advisor would call for family pictures, or they would have a cousin or a friend who happened to know me from TCU that they were in grad school with now, and they remembered me, so then they called. And I think makeup is one of those things, a relationship with a makeup artist. Most people don't have a makeup artist.
It's like saying, like, call your lawyer.
Yeah. Like no one, like, people don't have, like, that's not something that people have. People have a hair person.
Yeah.
And I think we are similar in that there are industries that hinge just as much on talent as they do on relationships. So I think that when a girl says to her girlfriend, oh, I went with Becca, she's so fun, you'll love her, she's talented. So yes, my talent is important, but I think the other half of it is relationship building. Like, you're going to be spending a good chunk of the most important part of that person's day with them. And having the right person, I think picking the right team, whether it be makeup, whether it be venue, wedding planner, so much of that is relationship, because you're going to remember that day, good or bad, for the rest
of
your
personality life. It absolutely is. And I tell and I've said this on the podcast before, when I'm talking to brides, even ones that haven't hired me yet, and we're talking about putting the vendor team together and referrals and all that, I tell them, you need to like your wedding planner. Like, you need to vibe with your wedding planner. You should want to be friends with your wedding planner. You should want to get drinks with her. She should be someone that feels like your best friend for 6 months or whatever.
Absolutely.
And your photographer needs to be someone who does not annoy you. You don't have to love them, but they're following you around all day. If they get on your nerves, even if you can't pinpoint why, do not hire them.
They're not your person.
And the other person that you have to feel an immediate connection to is your makeup artist, because that girl is going to be literally in your face for the first couple hours and sets the tone for your entire wedding day. And if it's somebody that you feel like is rude or bossy or too quiet or talks too much. Yeah,
And I think I always...
You don't want to have that conversation the morning of.
You really don't.
And you don't want to have it at all. You have to hire someone that you actually
I think hiring someone who you like is important. So actually, that's one reason. One of my brides actually designed my website for me. And when she was designing it, she asked me all these things about what I liked. And even though she totally knew the answers, because she was a bride who became my friend, that's why I hired her to do the work. I was like, you're really good at this, and I like you as a person. I was like, could you help me, you know, with some new web design? And she asked me all these questions, and I was like, why are you asking all these questions? She's like, because I want potential brides to know the you that I know, because that's why I picked you. She's like, because you were great at what you did. She's like, but you were so fun to hang out with. She's like, that we're still hanging out. And I was like, that's a good point. And
how do you get your personality across in a website that's describing your services and your background? Like,
I mean,
it's good that she knows you.
It lists, you know, things I like Target and unicorns and Bravo. Things that are, like, totally not, like, important at the end of the day. But I do spend a lot of time at Target.
And watching Bravo. Yes, we talked about
that. More than anyone probably should. They are important to me. So, like, I did a bride's trial yesterday. We had a full conversation about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because we are both equally invested. So it's good to know that you have, like, common interests, things to talk about while you're in the chair.
Yes.
It's depressing to sit there and be somber.
Totally. And that's the thing about the makeup artist, is you actually talk to them more than just the day you meet them to find out if you're going to hire them. Your florist and your cake baker, it's totally awesome if you love them. But you don't have to
love them. You don't have to love them.
You're not going to see them.
You're not going to see them. Yeah. You have to trust them to bring it, trust them to execute your vision, drop it off, and you're done. But with me, I'm there with you. And sometimes I'm there with you longer than just down to the ceremony. Sometimes girls desperately have this desperate need to, they're like, I need you there for touch-ups just for my own peace of mind. So sometimes I will start a day at 8 a.m. and my last touch-up will be at 8 p.m.
Actually, I was going to ask you about that, because Maria Chang, the makeup artist we just had on from the Bay Area, all her packages are full day. She's been doing it for a long time, and I think she's at a budget price point that helps to keep things where she wants them.
Yes.
and she's amazing. And in San Francisco, everything's just different.
Yes,
budget-wise. But so all she was saying, like, for me, I feel like my brides are paying me to make sure that they look perfect for the entire production, as it were. So she's on site all day. Do you include it as an a la carte option and then charge hourly?
So I do include it as an a la carte option. To be perfectly honest, it is not an option that is often used. And I think that is in large part because of my background in theater. Theater makeup is meant to withstand long shows and stage lights.
It's sweat.
And, which is similar to Texas weather.
Yeah.
So I'm really good at making you a bulletproof face. And the other half of that is, for myself, makeup has always been difficult. I'm incredibly oily. Like, I'm all the worst things. Like, I'm oily. I live in Texas. Like, all these horrible, terrible things that should make for really bad obstacles. But once I got to being, like, having my own bulletproof face, I was like, okay, we figured this out. We figured out how to make it happen. Now we apply what we learned on ourselves and we transition it to a client's face.
So it's like troubleshooting
on yourself.
It took you years to figure out to keep yourself matte and not shiny and all that.
And no shiny.
You didn't need touch-ups all day.
And no one wants to be shiny on their wedding day. Like, there are things that you don't want to worry about. I don't want to have to blot my face. I don't want to have to worry about, is my lipstick going anywhere? There are things that you just don't want to have to worry about. So I of course include the option. I had a bride last year who took the option. I 90% believe that. I don't think she really needed me. I think she wanted me to stay at the wedding.
Yeah, I can see that. And that's probably part of why people like it for Maria's too. It's the same thing.
Like, yeah,
just
they're
to
like,
have her there.
I just like having you there.
Yeah,
and
it's a luxury.
And she had asked me, she's like, you know, do you want to attend my wedding? And I was like, no, I think I'm going to be really tired. And then one of her bridesmaids sent me a message and she was like, she's really upset and she wants you to be there. I was like, she wants me to be there? Okay, I will make it happen. So I stayed and I was there for her touch-ups. And then I stayed through the wedding. And after the wedding, she wanted desperately for me to come to a dive bar with her and the bridal party.
After the wedding?
After the wedding.
Oh.
I went to the dive bar for like 5 minutes. I touched up her lipstick outside of the dive bar to make her feel better. Because I think she just wanted me there. She was like, is everything okay?
A little bit of it is feeling like a celebrity a little bit. To have like a professional makeup artist
to have
follow you around and be like, come here. Let me just
fix this.
Oh,
let me touch
amazing.
This. Oh, yeah. I think that's part of it. And I think, what other day do you get to do all that stuff? Like, what other day do you get to have people fawn over you and make sure your hair's right and make sure your boobs are sitting up straight and all those things and just obsess over every little detail? So
yes.
I think part of it is
it's about me. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
sure. What it's like going to lunch with my mom. She's like, can you touch me up? Can I have some powder?
I've been asking you on occasion every time we do an event together.
Yeah. Like, you're like, am I shy?
Did you want me to show up early so you could put eyelashes on me? And Becca's always like, let's do that. And then it never happens. You're like, I'm busy, girl. I'm setting
Sorry.
Up my table. Get out of here.
I feel like that happens before every event.
Oh my gosh.
Other girl vendors will be like.
Totally. Us professionals are like, hey, did you bring anything extra?
They're like, do you have some backup lashes?
Yeah.
I will say that's something I learned from another makeup artist that I became friends with. Always keep lashes.
It's
always
the ultimate luxury for us that are doing weddings all the time to actually have somebody make us look these brides look.
It
for
should
sure.
be noted that that is also the ultimate luxury
for you.
For me.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I got to sit in my own chair at a wedding for the hairdresser to do my hair because I was in the bridal party. And I remember saying, is this what
it feels like?
I was like, is this what it's like in the chair? So there really is this like nice feeling about, oh my gosh, like I'm sitting in
yes.
the chair and someone's like waiting on me hand and foot. And when I'm done sitting in this chair, I'll look in the mirror and be like the most fabulous version
of
myself.
Yeah, that's like Kim Kardashian every day. I'm like, she always looks amazing, but every day there's a squad. And Erica Jane, of course, our favorite.
Love her so much.
She's like, not only does she have a squad, but she put together the most fabulous, most handsome,
so good looking.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It should be noted that her choreographer also used to work for the Pussycat Dolls. And if you look back at episodes of Real Housewives of Orange County.
Holy cow.
He was the choreographer when...
Her main guy, when Gretchen did
Pussycat Dolls. I remember exactly what he said.
Oh, he hasn't aged.
He does catchphrases, and I remember him directing her, and he was like, and Diva,
diva, Beyonce, and work it, work it. Like, he always does these yes. little things.
Oh, I want to be
the,
him.
It's the same. I'm very interested in being his friend. I'm yeah. like, do you need an assistant? Because yeah. we just hang out.
You should just start pinging him and tweeting him and all
that. Tweet Erica Jane and she tweets me back.
I saw that. I saw that. I know. I feel like it's 6 degrees. I am one step closer to meeting her just by talking
She
to
seems
you.
Very nice. If you, all of you people out there listening, don't know who Erica Jane is, I highly encourage you to look her up. Her makeup artist is Scott Barnes, and he is an incredibly talented
Jane
makeup
artist.
Jane
with a Y.
Yes.
Does he do her hair, too, or she has separate
No,
way?
Separate hair. But Scott is a phenomenal makeup artist. He actually has a product line that you can buy. He makes great foundations, but more importantly, this beautiful body makeup for a lovely, lovely glow. And I really...
What's his last name?
Barnes.
Scott Barnes. Yes. Because I link to it in our show notes. You yes. can check out our show notes.
He's so, so talented. I would love to just, like, stand at his feet and be like, hi, tell me everything. Thank you.
Interesting.
Makeup artists, like, fangirl for makeup artists. Like, we yeah. have other people that were like, oh my God, you're so talented. I follow your work. I know all the things
yeah,
you
and
do.
And the top ones we all hear about. And hair, too.
Pat McGrath.
And I start to, like, see... that I can recognize their work a little bit. Who is that hairstylist? Kevin Ossian? Or
that's a makeup artist, Kevin O'Quan.
Right. Is he dead?
Yes. He passed away.
He did Julia Roberts all the time.
He was in an episode of Sex and the City.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So I remember he was kind of
like, I really love your column.
In my world, he was one of the first vendors that had a name.
Yes.
And he had an article in. What, did he write for Glamour or something?
Yeah, he used to write articles. And actually, people out there listening, I highly recommend the Kevin O'Quan Sensual Skin Enhancer.
Oh,
can be used as a, it could be used as a foundation, as a concealer. I can cover giant birthmarks with it. So if you were to have a purple birthmark on your face, I could cover it completely in Sensual Skin Enhancer.
Tattoos?
It's really, really good. Ugh, it's so good. I remember when I got my very first one. I don't think I've ever like been so excited about a product because I went to Neiman's and they had just started carrying his line. And I was like, okay, I need to find a color. And the lady is like, what do you need? She's like, do you want a sample? And I was like, yeah. And I got the sample and I was like, I'll just take one. Do you have this color in stock? I'll just take it. And so I remember taking it home.
She's
and
like,
I was
why
like,
are you crying? You're I can't help it.
And I think I remember going home and doing my face in that and an Armani foundation. I was like, I feel like money. Ugh. But my face was beautiful. Like, good products are worth their weight. So that's actually...
There is something to be said for really expensive luxury, too, that actually, like, makes you feel happy when you put it on. Because you paid so much for it.
And... quality product is important. There are quality products that are $8. There are quality products that are $80.
Okay, on that note, favorite, let's say budget, like under $25, mascara.
Oh, Until the Day I Die, L'Oreal Voluminous in Carbon Black.
Oh my gosh!
Forever.
That's the one I use.
The best.
Navy blue with the silver.
Yep,
yes.
Till forever.
Okay.
Best stuff.
I'm so happy you said that. And, actually, since I know you mentioned being a woman of color and the foundation and finding what works, what do you think, and this can be a department store, but is like the best brand of makeup in terms of foundation and...
Or in terms... Okay, there's a couple. So in terms of... There's a couple things I look at when I'm looking at makeup for myself. If a makeup line doesn't carry my color, I automatically will write you off and it will make me less likely to buy your products, hands down.
I get that.
So I remember Becca Cosmetics. I remember the very first time I was introduced to their product was at the Sephora flagship store in San Francisco. And that's the Sephora store that gets everything first, that when Sephora is testing out something or trying something, it starts there. So I remember being there and I remember just seeing the range of colors, and there wasn't one shade of brown or two shades of brown. There were so many shades of brown. Red undertones and gold undertones and neutral undertones. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, I can find something.
Totally.
And that was a really nice feeling to have. So for range of colors, I love Becca. They do a great job.
Is it spelled like your name?
Yes, spelled okay. just like my name, B-E-C-C-A.
Still at Sephora.
Still at Sephora. You can get that at Sephora or Ulta.
Okay.
I love Lancôme foundation. They are also great with range of colors. They have Lupita Nyong'o as one of their brand mm-hmm. ambassadors, so they do great in terms of colors there. And then my personal favorite that I wear 90% of the time is Makeup Forever Matte Velvet Foundation. Most people wear HD, and I will say I generally put clients in HD, but I personally wear Matte Velvet because I am, again, very, very oily. So that's just what works for me. I've been wearing that foundation for 5 years. But if I want to splurge, I am an Armani child.
Okay, so if you get, like, a gift card,
oh, I mean,
you'll go to the Armani counter first, try to spend there.
I mean, no, I'll buy it anyway. But my mom refers to Armani foundation as her Sunday foundation, as in it's for the Lord.
Oh, I love that.
She's like, that's our Sunday foundation.
Got it. So since you, I know you said you have, you're sensitive about using the word professional, and I think you and I both are in industries, not just the wedding industry, but the professions within the wedding industry where a lot of people crop up all the time that are like, I'm a wedding planner. And it irks me when someone says that when they're not certified or I know that they just planned their own wedding and now they're calling themselves a wedding planner. I mean, that's horrible to say, but that's the truth. And I'm just prickly about it because I worked for free and I was an intern and I was an office assistant and I was a day of assistant and I ate a lot of shit and got underpaid and I paid a lot of money.
Or not paid at all.
Or not paid at all. Or I felt underappreciated just in general, but I learned and learned and said yes and said yes and went to school and got certified and built it up, you know, the right way, the slow and steady way.
But slow and steady wins the race. I think makeup right now happens to be one of those things where everyone's a makeup artist.
It's very trendy and hip to like.
It's very trendy
post your pics
to be a makeup artist, and I think a lot of what we see is girls who are enthusiasts. That's not to say that there is no value in that. I think there certainly is some value in that, and an inherent skill in learning how to best perfect your facial features. But there is also the half of me that says, congratulations, you're 21 and you've figured out how to do your own face. Would you like a cookie? If you've posted a sea of pictures that are just your face, I haven't learned anything about your talent or skill. I've learned that you know your own face very well. Right. I don't know if you can work with a variety of skin tones or eye shape or textured skin.
Not to mention personality, business skills, and responsiveness.
Because that's a whole nother set of skills. Yeah. Because learning the business end of it, the artistry came naturally to me. Business end did not. And I had to apply myself and work really hard and ask a lot of questions and pay lawyers lots of money.
Yeah,
to,
and make mistakes and be like, that system did not work.
There are things you have to find out the hard way, like, oh, hey, like, yeah, contracts are really important. You have to have those to protect, not just to protect yourself, but to protect your client as well. A contract is just as much to protect me as it is to protect my client, because my contract lets you know that there's literally no way I could bail out on you unless I was dead. And even if I was, you would still get someone else. Actually, that's a weird fear I have. I'm like, what if something were to weirdly happen? But it's all covered. It's all
in there somewhere.
It's all handled in there, because I think of when I do the business end of stuff, I think of how I would want things handled if it were my wedding.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
There's a plan B and there's a worst case scenario plan, and you have everything covered in between.
Right.
In writing of how it's going
to
go down.
So like just how Taylor Swift has her legs insured, I actually just talked to an insurance agency about insuring my hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
But these are things that, I mean, if something were to happen to my hands, I would have no job.
Yeah.
So there's more than just making people pretty.
Yes. So let me ask you this. I can only relate it to photography when I'm talking, because I've talked to clients before that booked me and didn't book me for referrals, but they were asking me about a certain photographer. And I looked at this girl's website. She's in another state. I've never worked with her before, never heard of her. Website was gorgeous. Photos were very pretty, but they were all styled shoots. There was no actual wedding. So I emailed my clients back and was like, I think this girl's super talented, but I think you need to ask her for portfolios or galleries of actual weddings, and specifically weddings that she's shot outdoors, maybe even more specifically if she's done anything in the environment that you guys are going to be in, which was a vineyard and a mountain. And it turns out that she'd only ever done one wedding. And everyone's got to start somewhere. But that one wedding wasn't put on her website. It was just these beautiful styled shoots where you can control every element.
Which is so fascinating.
So it was a risk, right?
Because my website, I remember being the complete opposite. I had no styled shoots. I only had real weddings. And I was like, oh, maybe I should do one of those styled shoot things.
Yeah.
And I think the first couple years, I didn't have a styled shoot. And then people started being like, people knew my name and they were like, hey, would you want to? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, fun. And it meant I got to do things that I might not otherwise get to do, or something
work with people,
or something that wasn't otherwise represented in my portfolio, because that's something to me that I find really important is representation. I tell actually lots of vendors. I was just saying to a photographer, if a client can't see themselves in your body of work, they're not going to pick you.
Yeah.
They just aren't. So if you wonder why I'm not getting this clientele, they don't see themselves there. You're not doing a good job of representing them. So there have been times where I have gone out of my way to represent a clientele that I literally have never had, but was important to me that they be represented. So I've designed styled shoots around, this is my concept, this is what I want to do, we're going to represent.
It has to be a black bride.
Yeah, has to be. I actually at one point told a photographer, I said, I love you, I have an overabundance of blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls, and I love them, but I don't need any more.
Right.
Not because I don't do them, of course I do them. I was like,
I'll take the wedding, but I can't.
I was like, but there's.
I need to show something.
Exactly. So I'm like, so if I'm going to give you my time for free, I got to get something else that behooves me. And so what's great about that photographer is she and I have actually known each other for a really long time. And she took that criticism really well. And she was like, okay, help me pick. She's like, help me pick. And we got a Filipina friend of ours from high school who happens to be like super gorgeous and has beautiful babies. But it was great to see somebody who wasn't cookie cutter for where we live.
Yeah.
I was like, because DFW is a pretty diverse area in terms of race and religion and sexual orientation. I think there's a wide range of people. So you're only pigeonholed if you make yourself.
Yeah. The clients that are naturally rolling into you, a lot of them are contacts and friends of the bride. So a lot of them are going to look
the bride. Exactly. They're all going to look the same because they're coming from that one.
Which is for
group.
You, like white, 25 years old, long hair.
Which I love you all. Please don't think I don't love you. I love
but
you.
But that's your, like.
That's just my.
Yeah, just. That's just the stats.
I'm like, that's the stats of where I'm at. So I have had to work hard
to diversify.
That was important to me. And I remember my mom saying, she's like, well, why don't you just do a styled shoot with yourself? And I was like, oh God, no.
But you do have pictures of yourself.
I do have pictures of myself.
And I think that's smart also.
But you know what? The most fun question I get asked all the time is people will have been on my website, seen my picture. Sometimes I've had people ask, who does my makeup?
Well, you said it's a luxury.
Which is so funny to me that people, I'm like, yes, I woke up early this morning to have someone else do my makeup. No, I did this. Or if people ask if I do women of color.
That's why you guys put them on your
site.
That's
why I have to put them on. I have to put brides of color on my site because my own picture is not enough. So.
Yeah. So what would, see, when I told my couple, don't, you know, look into this photographer a little bit more. Other than meeting you and scheduling a trial with you, what would you say is a smart thing for a bride to do when she's like checking you out to see if you're a good fit?
Oh, ask questions. I think it's important to ask questions.
What your process is or what products you use.
What is your process? What products do you use? Do you airbrush or not? If yes or no, why? And I always give people really good answers. Airbrush is something that I don't do for weddings. And people are always like, well, why? For me personally, I think airbrush is just another tool to have in your arsenal. But I also think in the 2000s, it became a really big bridal buzzword. And I think makeup when applied properly, all the all the wonderful things that airbrush gives you, of feeling light, of lasting long, of, you know, being sweat resistant. Traditional makeup, when applied properly, is all of those things.
So you would explain, you would feel comfortable explaining that to somebody prior to them scheduling a trial.
I explain it in emails all the time. I think that is one of my most asked questions, that and what brand of makeup do you use? And I always explain to people, I use what works for you, which might not be what works for
the girl before you.
The girl before you. I keep my kit stocked. I have learned to condense because I think my bag used to weigh like 100 pounds. I weighed it one day. It is much less now, but I have condensed so I can do any skin tone, any skin type.
And you might swap stuff out before.
Yeah, and I'll change things if I need to, but I keep 5 base colors from which I could make any other color.
Got it.
In each kind of category. I've always got color correctors. They're just base things that I'm always going to have on me. But I think those are important questions to ask. One thing that I've recently had, I've had a bride who we found out is allergic to everything. Questions about that. I had a mother of the bride recently. She's like, I have a latex allergy. And so I wrote it down in the notes for her while I was doing the trial, because even though I wasn't doing a trial for the mom, I would have the mother on the wedding day. And that's important to know. So we have to use a latex-free eyelash glue for her. Otherwise, we could have an incident. Yeah. I have a bride who is allergic to animal hair brushes. So every brush that touches her face must be synthetic or she will break out in hives.
Yeah, you don't want to discover that the morning of.
That is not a fun thing to discover. So these are the questions you ask. Have you worked with these sensitivities? Are you comfortable working with these allergies? Do you have options for me? Think of it like if you are gluten-free. You're going to do your research before you go to a restaurant and see what options they have for you. Same thing.
So the process would be like, I found your photos on Instagram. I love your work. And they email you and they ask, like, are you available on their date? What are your prices? How many girls can you do in 6 hours, or some timing questions, right?
Yep.
And that's all before you've even scheduled a trial with them. They might email you with that kind of inquiry.
Yes.
And it's the cost of doing business for you to take the time to email them back thoroughly.
Yep.
And then schedule, or do they send pictures before they send? Like, what would be, if you're talking to brides right now, here's the best way to do it. Send photos or no?
I actually like for girls to send me photos, because for me, bride, so you know, I creep all of you. I look at all your pictures because I like to know what your regular makeup style is. Usually I ask my girls, I'm like, hey, send me some pictures of you just on a daily basis. So I've literally had girls send me selfies of the office.
Yeah.
And I've said, you know, send me a picture of your everyday, then send me a picture of your dream wedding makeup.
And you could be having this correspondence before they've even scheduled a trial with you.
What's funny is sometimes girls will schedule me sight unseen.
Yeah.
That happens quite often because word of mouth is so important in this industry. And they're like, oh, so-and-so talked about you. I know I'm booking you. I have one wedding in October. And I remember this is a girl who is in my sorority, and she's many, many years younger than me. And I remember the first day she met me, she said to me, when I get married one day, you're going to do my makeup. And she hadn't even met the guy yet.
You haven't.
So it's hilarious to me to come full circle that I'm like booked for her wedding.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's crazy, and I think that's wonderful. I know there are people that are offended by girls that ask for trials before they book, and I'm like, why? You get one day, and those pictures are
really? Some makeup artists don't do trials?
They do them, but I think it's a little bit of ego and hurt feelings.
And rather than like as a tryout, it's as like, let's decide what my makeup is going to be. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the flip side of that? Have you had girls that you know are shopping around and they've got 3 trials scheduled and they're going to choose the best one? Does that happen?
Yeah, happens all the time.
Yeah, and they're upfront about it or not, and you just find out.
I mean, most of the time I know. I don't tell them that I know. They don't need to know that. I am going to give you my best service regardless. I would love to work with you. I'm always excited to meet new people. I'm always excited to work with people on their wedding day. I find that half the time I'm far more excited about my girls' weddings than they are. I did a bride's trial yesterday, and I kept saying to her, I was like, I can't believe you're getting married. Like, we've been friends for a million years. I think I've met her twice before. Like, twice before. So we don't know each other particularly well, but it's just such an exciting thing to be a part of someone's special day, and you're in close quarters, and makeup is a girly fun thing to talk about. So it's fun.
A luxury for them that you get to provide that. So I can tell that you embrace that part of it.
I like my job a lot.
What happens? So sometimes I go head to head with somebody else. Sometimes I know who they are. Sometimes I don't. When the client is asking us a lot of questions and talking about budget a lot. And if they hire me, that's great. But if they don't, most of the time they just stop. They just drop the correspondence. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I'll get an email that's like, hey, thanks so much for all that information you sent. We decided to go with somebody else, but you were awesome. Or, but I really enjoyed talking to you. And it's just a nice, polite email. Mm-hmm. I much prefer getting dumped that way rather than me being like, I wonder if that bride is going to call me in a month and her date will be gone. Do you prefer a callback or?
I do. Generally, I send a follow-up email after my very first one. So I'll send you my first one. If I haven't heard from you in 7 days, I check in just to kind of see how you're doing. If there's any questions I can answer for you.
I do that too.
I'm like, if I can kind of help you out in any way. But sometimes there are girls that kind of forget. And so I recently had to turn somebody down because I responded several months ago and she just now got back to me and her date's gone.
Oh, got back to you to be like, yep, let's
She's like, let's do it. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm unavailable. Yeah. And in those situations, it actually kind of hurts my heart. I don't quite love it. And I said to her, I was like, I'm going to put some feelers out with some other makeup artists that I love and trust and see if anybody has any availability. And I'm going to get you the best possible option for your day. And that girl, I felt really bad. She was a referral from a former bride, a planner, and a friend from high school. So it hurt me to I was like, oh no, I'm really sorry. Yeah. But my thing is, if someone doesn't go with me, I still want you to have the best makeup experience ever, even if I'm not the one giving it to you.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I hope, you know, good luck. I hope whoever you hired is amazing and you have an amazing day.
Oh yeah. I'm like, I want my girls to, even if they're not my girls, I want every client who I talk to think to themselves, I didn't book her for my wedding, but gosh, I want to book her for something else after that. Mm-hmm. So I've had people who have not booked me for their wedding and I've done everything for them after. I've had one girl who I didn't do her wedding. I remember I met this girl at a party in college and she remembered me after her wedding and I've done every big life moment since then. So pregnancy announcement, then the baby came, we're about to do baby's 1 year photos, first family pictures, all of these things that were important. We did Halloween this year, it was her and her husband's first big night out since the baby, and they did themed costumes and it was a really big deal. And for me, that means such a big deal. That is so not lost on me that it's a really special day and people have options and people have choices. So I'm always just very, very thankful and grateful that people think I'm someone that they want to spend. Yeah, that I'm someone that they want to spend that time with. Because people have choices. You have choices, you have options. So when people go with me, it feels really nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
I don't tell brides budget really for makeup specifically, but I do tell them that when we're creating the timeline, we have to allot minimum most of the time 45 minutes for hair and 45 minutes for makeup per person. And usually that encompasses a little bit of buffer time, especially if it's all back to back, because some girls take 25 and then somebody else might take 55, but
I use a timer. So.
So you, but you're, you would say 45 minutes.
45 is about
and an
perfect.
Hour for the bride.
I usually give an hour and a half for the bride, but here's why. I try to make, I am the last place you hit. Me or hair are usually the last place you hit before you walk down the aisle. And it's all, and then from then
and
on.
It's just rolling.
Yeah. And I feel like it moves so fast from there. And you just blink and it kind of
so
happens.
You're conscious of slowing it down. And
So there's a reason. So it doesn't take me an hour and a half to do your makeup. I don't need an hour and a half. I want you to be able to calm down and take in the moment. And I try to do a face mask and we do some face rubbing and talking and just have a mimosa, chill out, because this is it before you go marry your best friend.
Yeah.
And everything goes so fast and you blink and it's over. And so it's something that I want you to remember, and I want you to feel relaxed and confident and beautiful. And so for me, I want to give you as much of my time as I can to make you happen without going overboard. Mm-hmm. So.
And when a bride is looking at budget for her whole wedding, and they're starting to break down that spreadsheet, and this is how much is allotted for all these vendors, if it's a bride with some bridesmaids or some women involved, moms or sisters or whoever, the bride should count on her makeup costing more than the attendance. Yes.
Always.
And the trial that you have ahead of time, whether it's a month ahead of time or 6 months ahead of time, is an additional cost you need to budget for.
Yes.
That doesn't roll into...
No.
Okay.
Some people do roll it in. I like to do them separately so you know what, this is what I'm spending on my day of.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep all of that together, and then every other separate thing as a separate invoice. For me, that's easier. Some people do it differently, but that's just worked for me. And I will say, obviously, people are going to say, well, you're saying that because you're a makeup artist. But even if I wasn't a makeup artist, I would say this. Don't spend $1,000 on your shoes and then want to spend $50 on your makeup. Your shoes will be in one picture. Your face will be in every single one.
Yeah.
You're never going to look back and say, gosh, I'm just really so glad I got those shoes and I didn't have a professional makeup artist. You're never going to say that.
Yeah.
Your face, and actually this is a personal family anecdote. My mom has said that her wedding makeup is her biggest regret. She got married in 1986 and her makeup is quintessential 1986. It is
like pinks and purples and eyeshadow.
Hot blue. Oh. Just hot blue. And one thing I think that is important in looking at your makeup artist is you should see if their work, if they have the ability to do classic work.
Timeless, yeah.
So I'm not talking about somebody that can do Instagram makeup. That's great. It's a wonderful style. Eyebrows on fleek. I personally do that for myself. But that's not what you're looking for. So when I talk about classic makeup, I mean, and this is my favorite example, I could take Celine Dion's makeup from, I want to say she got married in 1996. I could do that on a bride today and it would look perfect.
Celine Dion.
Yes.
When she wore that cap thing?
Oh, God. The cap was awful.
Okay, but that's the pictures we're talking about.
But that makeup was classic, was timeless. I could do it. That wedding was, 20-something years ago.
You can't pinpoint the decade.
And that's what makeup should be.
It highlights her features and it makes the version of her more prettier and elevated and photo ready, but it still looks like
her. And that's what you want. You want something that stands the test of time. There will be other things that will date your wedding day, be it I had to have mason jars, or I had a bouquet.
Succulents.
Or my bouquet was round, or I had shoulder pads. There will be things that will date your day. That's a given. But good classic makeup that works for you as a person, you should be able to do 20 years later and it still looks good. So I always I point to that picture of Celine Dion because I'm like, that is quintessential. Like, they did a great face. What was a great face for her? It wasn't a 90s face. It wasn't, it wasn't any of that. It was just perfect for her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, really, you could do that makeup on her again and she would look great. She looked fantastic at the Grammys the other week.
Yeah, it's probably a version of that. It's probably what she does.
Actually, it probably was. I think it was similar. It was similar color. She did just some bronzy browns, and because of her skin tone and her hair color, it just worked well. It looked beautiful. It was classic. It's timeless. We like classic.
So speaking of right now, it seems like the smoky eye, that's like a buzzword, smoky eye, smoky eyes. And it's, when I'm like getting dressed up to go out, I have I have a routine and it's black, using more blacks and definitely putting more on top and pretty heavy eyeliner and heavy mascara. I don't do my makeup and other, like, I've been doing the same thing since I was 16. It's like, I don't know how to do the techniques and stuff, but I definitely put on more on the eyes and it's darker. That'd be my version of the smoky eye. But your Instagram is definitely like that. Those eye, when the eyes are really popping in those pictures, it's a smoky eye, right? Is that the
so when someone
description?
So I think a lot of people think smoky means black. It doesn't. I could give you a green smoky eye, purple smoky eye, brown smoky eye. Smoky is just more of a technique.
Okay.
So, so think of the way that smoke fades. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
So we're talking about having a dark color, and then that color fading. Now, smoky eyes need to be adjusted for most people. I think a lot of people are like, okay, so I put the black in the crease. Well, that doesn't work for every eye shape.
There's, on the crease.
Yes.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of girls who...
I just like line my actual eye.
And there are some people that are like, give me all the liner, make it smoky. And that's one way to do it. There are more than one way to skin a cat. We're not really skinning cats. So I like animals, I promise. But there's more than one way to do it. And I think some
brides might say, I want a smoky eye, and then point to a picture of yours and you're like, I can do that, but it's not a smoke. Like, that's actually what it's called.
No, I always explain to brides that I'm going to modify it for them. So I will often, like I was telling you earlier, everyone wants Adele's Grammy makeup. Everybody loves it. It's wonderful. It's gorgeous, gorgeous work by her makeup artist. It is not for everyone, and there are modifications that would have to be made for most people.
You said she has really strong features.
She has some strong features, and so that look, as strong as it is, wouldn't play well on everybody's face. And Adele and I have a similar face in that we could have a lot of makeup on, and other people's perception is that it's not a lot, but it's a lot. Stronger faces can hold quite a bit more than some faces. So
yeah, like that delicate, like bird-like features that would be overwhelmed.
They would be very overwhelmed.
Like our girl we did the styled shoot with.
Yes.
She was very petite and she had very small
delicate
features.
Delicate, so and I couldn't. If I had smoky-eyed her, she would have looked like skanky in a hurry.
But you did enough eye makeup for sure that from far away, she was definitely like glammed up.
Yeah,
but
you still want to know, you still wanted it to be the most glammed version of her. But I couldn't give her Adele level because that would have taken over. Yeah, that would have taken over her face. And what's funny is, I think if most people watched me do my own makeup, they would say it's drag level makeup. And let me be very clear, it is. It is. I was a theater kid, so
yeah. Were you using like Ben Nye?
I was using Ben Nye before it was cool.
Me too.
Also,
oh my gosh.
Public service announcement: banana powder is not for everyone.
Which one is that? The white stuff?
It's a yellow powder.
Oh.
And everyone's using it for a technique called baking.
Oh, I don't even know what any of this is.
So baking is a drag technique that the internet found out about a couple years ago and decided that it was theirs.
We're always gentrifying things from the drag queens.
Just taking things.
I love drag queens so much. I think anyone who loves housewives like
probably,
we do love drag queens, right?
I mean, I went to S4 the other week and just mesmerized.
They're like superheroes to me when I watch them in the shows.
You should.
The Rose Room, all that, all those places in Dallas. I watch them the way my son watches superheroes when he sees them in costume.
Just
like,
the costumes and the hair and the makeup.
The attitude and the swagger. And
all the things.
Well, the craftsmanship with some of their hair and makeup and their corsets is
actually one of the drag queens at S4 is the director of admissions at SMU art school grad department.
I love that.
Oh, he's good. Like, he was Miss Gay USA. Shout out to Jenna Sky. I think you're fabulous. I want to be friends.
I think I saw her at the Orlando.
You probably have.
Yeah, when
she's,
they did the Orlando
she's
charity event.
Fabulous. And if you ever
they said Mr. Gay USA.
Miss Gay USA.
Yes.
She's a pageant girl. She's a crown. Jenna Sky, I think you're fabulous. Anytime if you'd like to adopt me, I'm fine with that. Jenna Sky, Crystal Summers, Asia O'Hara, Cassie Nova. Ladies.
Oh, shit. Oh, Cassie Nova
you.
Is one of my
favorites. I love you all. I want to be friends. My birthday's coming up, so if you would like to have me at the Rose Room and just, like, do me for my birthday, I'm very interested in that.
Becca, we have to go to the Rose Room together. That would be so fun.
Can we make that a thing? I know.
Okay, so that's...
I wear a lot of makeup, but it's good to know that makeup is subjective. What works for one girl might not work for you. So, like I said, for me, I really do wear an amount of makeup that would be used for a man to create a female illusion. but my face can take it.
Yeah.
I've got strong features. I've got big brows. I've got really big puffy cheeks. My face can take it. My sister's face cannot.
Mm.
My mom's face cannot. My mom, my sister are such tiny people. My sister's 4'11". My mom's 5'. I'm like 5'6". I'm pretty average, but my facial features are very, are their own. They have their own life. And my sister's face has like cute little button nose. And my mom, we call her our snow cap, our little snow cap, because she's got gray hair and she's a black lady like the snow cap candies.
Yeah, oh, I love that.
So we call her our little snow cap, but she's just got cute teeny features. And what I do on myself, I could not do on them in a million years. They'd look crazy in a hurry.
And they wouldn't feel.
I don't think they would. Yeah, I don't think they'd feel confident. So it's important to find somebody who knows how to, even if Instagram makeup is their style, it's important to have somebody who knows how to edit down, because everybody's an artist. Everybody has their own style and what they want to do. It's lovely that you want to do that, but it's not your wedding day.
Okay, so if they, yes, I feel the same way. Sometimes brides have a style that I think, me personally, I'm not into at all, but it's not my day. So
not
I
my
make
day,
it happen.
So it doesn't matter.
So it's helpful, yes, it's definitely helpful when brides give you photos to say, like, this is kind of what I want.
I like pictures.
Is it extra helpful when they give you photos of your own work, or does it not matter because you're going to do a version?
I think when I get photos of my own work, I'm just really flattered. I'm like, oh my God, thank you.
But is it more helpful to be like, yes, I can do that on you, because I, as you can see, I'm good at that.
What actually is most helpful is if you give me a, if you find a picture on Pinterest, if you find someone who has similar features.
Oh, got
that it. That is what I find most helpful. So, and I know most girls don't know. I have blank eye shape. I have blah, 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 this shape.
But you know general, like,
you know general coloring. So you know, like, your coloring. You know, everybody has someone who, like, oh, sometimes people say I look like so-and-so mm-hmm. celebrity. Go look at her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had a girl do that, and it was, I had a redheaded bride. And she was beautiful and gorgeous. And every picture she gave me was of a redheaded celebrity with her eye coloring and her face
shape.
That
seems obvious, but
I get that people see things and they're like, oh, you're beautiful. I want to look like that.
Right, right, right.
And so I understand having this like fantasy in your mind of like, oh, I want to be that. I want to be that. But I like when a girl says, this is what I look like. These are my features. These are people who look like me. I liked them on X occasion. And I think she had given me a photo of the same girl on like 3 different nights, and she pointed out what element of each makeup she liked.
Yeah.
I liked her
eyes.
I'm
into this bride.
I liked her,
this redheaded bride.
I liked her a lot. She was wonderful, and she was like, okay, I like this eyeshadow. I like her blush and skin here. I really like this lip color. That was probably
super helpful.
Most helpful, because I was like, I felt like I didn't have to think. I felt like she had done all the thinking for me.
Yeah.
Now, if I have to do the thinking for you, that's fine. That's still part of my job. But if you want to help me, and I think if you want to get the best results, find somebody who's got some similar facial features. So I know that I look like, if you guys watch Orange is the New Black, I am very...
Are you going to say...
I look like tasty.
Tasty. I knew you were going to say that. Well, I think that I've definitely gotten Celine Dion and Mariska Hargitay. So you combine those two ladies, that's sort of what I look like.
I look like tasty, guys. Danielle, I think...
No, but your mouth. Who have people told you your mouth and your lips? Like, you have very...
They're large. I don't know whose they are.
But it's like bow-shaped, or what is that?
Oh,
Cupid's kind of...
So I have a really pronounced Cupid's bow.
Is that... That's what that
it's,
is, right?
Yeah, yeah, so this little dip at the top of your lip, but actually if you were to... I did it
it's
once.
It's more the...
I did it... It's the sides. It's,
that are a little like...
It's
jokery, except
it's very pronounced in the middle, and it's like a very straight, pointy dip, and then it makes it hard. Like, I've done it before with black lipstick.
What,
and
it was like the 20s when they were painting that
when they were
on,
painting
these,
that
like,
on.
Silent film style.
And I actually didn't notice it until I had taken some pictures with black lipstick on.
Yes,
and a
I love
of,
those pictures.
And a friend of mine said, he said, you have the most gorgeous bow-drawn lips. And I really had never sat down and like looked at them like that.
And you
I was
Googled
like
Googled bow-drawn lips and you're like,
I was like,
oh
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because I remember doing like a play that was set in the 20s in high school, and we had to do that. And I was like, I was like, I'm just gonna draw on my face like regular. Like, I'm not gonna do like this extra that they're asking me.
Yeah.
Not realizing
I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pull a Terry Gross here. Well, Becca Ashman, thank you so much for being with me. Thank you so much for being here today. This was a delight. I have lots of other questions for you, but
We'll have to follow up. And seriously, this was super informative, and I'm really glad you
came
all the way out.
Yay!
And Twitter and Facebook. We have a couple different links, right?
On most social media, you can find me as Becca Ashman. So BECCAASHMON. That one works for Instagram and Twitter. And then if you're looking for my business pages, they're always going to be BABEAUTYTX. So BABEAUTYTX. That's going to be on Instagram. And if you're looking for my pages on Facebook. So that's the ways that you can find me. So come follow me and say funny things. I comment back. I'm a really nice person.
Yeah. Her and Erica Jane will comment back to you on the Twitter.
Maybe I'll do an Erica Jane inspired look on my face.
Maybe I need to be around
with
that.
With a pony and a jumpsuit.
By the way, I have a fake ponytail up there. See, it says ponytail. I bought it for myself and I cannot figure out how to get it to stay on.
Do you want to know something fun?
I can't figure out how to do it.
I have one in my car.
You need to clip this into my head and show me what the hell to do.
I'll teach you.
I'm going to London, and I feel like when you travel, you can totally wear fake hair.
Because no one will know.
Yeah, because I could just be like, what? I'm never going to see you again. I'm very self-conscious about it, but I'm going to put on, I am putting on that fake ponytail for London faux show, one way or the other. All right. I'm going to sign off, and thank you for joining us.